Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 38 towards the end of the chapter. John chapter 18, verse 38. John chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And our subject this morning is no fault in Christ, no fault in Christ. And while we consider this morning this portion of scripture, these words at the very end of verse 38, and many of you will well know the context. In fact, I preached from this chapter, from this portion of scripture, not so long ago, I think the first message of the new year. And this, of course, is a tremendous scene. The Lord Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, both of them historical figures. As I always say, this is a historical event. Pontius Pilate is a historical person, the governor, the Roman governor of Judea, who really, truly lived, of course, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is before him, who really, truly lived, a historical figure, the greatest historical figure, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth, who entered into human history. And he would declare himself to be more than just a man, more than just a prophet. Why, we read it earlier, even in these verses before us. Verse 36, for example, the Lord answering Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He is more than a man. He says it himself. He declares himself to be the Son of God. His kingdom is not of this world. And yet he came down from heaven to earth. He took upon himself a human body. He lived in the Middle East, in Judea, in what is now modern-day Palestine, and he showed himself to be the Son of God by the things he said, by the things he did, of course, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man could have done these things. He is truly the Son of God, and his kingdom is not of this world. And he came to invite men into his kingdom, and this is why we preach the gospel message. This is why we declare these glad tidings, so that men and women may be gathered into that kingdom, the kingdom that is not of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And we enter into it by faith. And this is what we shall consider. You know all of these things very well, most of you. But just to remind ourselves before we look at these particular words of Pontius Pilate. So again, you will know the context. The Jews want the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. They want him to die. This is why they have brought him to Pilate. They cannot pass the death sentence upon Jesus themselves. They don't have the authority. Only the Romans have the authority to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death, to send him to the cross. So therefore, they have to bring him to Pilate. But Pilate examines him. And then he says, well, those words, I find in him no fault at all. The Jews, you want to put him to death. And yet I have spoken to him. I have examined him. I find no fault in him, nothing at all. And dear friends, this is, well, it's not just a message for the Jews of that time. This is a message for each and every one of us. This is what we must all know about the Lord Jesus. This is what we must all believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no fault in him at all. No fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by extension, there is no fault in the Christian faith. There is no fault in the gospel message that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that we live in a world where people are always willing and always ready to find fault with the gospel, with the Bible, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You go, you speak to anybody, they will always find a fault. But there is no fault. This is the great delusion. We spoke about Satan last week. The delusion that we are all under, the spell of Satan, is that there is a fault. There's something wrong with the Christian message, something wrong with the Bible. There isn't. It's just that Satan has blinded the eyes of so many so that we think that there's a fault, but there actually is nothing wrong at all with the Word of God. And this is what we believe. We believe this as Christians. We ought to believe this as Christians. We believe this certainly in this church. We believe that the Word of God is it is inerrant. We could speak about that. The inerrancy of Scripture. What does that mean? It means there are no errors in the Word of God. We believe that as a church. Nothing that is erroneous, nothing that is wrong. We believe in the infallibility of Scripture. There is no fault in it. There's no possibility that there could be any fault in the Word of God. The inerrancy, the infallibility of Scripture. This is the position we take as a church, and we encourage you, all of you, if you are Christian, to take that position, because there is no fault, we believe, and that is a great part of our faith. And I'm going to spend just a very brief time, the rest of our time together this morning, trying to convince you of this. If you don't believe it, we must believe it and examine the claims that are presented to us here. So why do we believe this? Why do we believe that there is no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore in the gospel message? Well, first of all, because it is true. Because it is true. This is, of course, what the Lord Jesus Christ has said of himself and what I focused on when we spoke on this, when I spoke on this passage at New Year's. Verse 37, at the end of the verse, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is why there is no fault in the Word of God, because it is true. It is truth. The Word of God is truth. Truth, almost by definition, is faultless, because it is the truth. When somebody tells you the truth, well, they are never at fault. Of course not. If somebody tells you the truth, they're never at fault because they are telling you the truth. There's nothing you can fault in what they are saying because it is the truth. So truth, by definition, there is no fault in truth. If, on the other hand, you tell a lie, well, then, of course, you are at fault because you're telling a lie and it's not the truth. That's always a fault. It's always deficient to tell a lie, because it's not actually the truth. But if you tell the truth, of course, there is no fault in it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is part of the reason why there is no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great reason, because he is truth. And truth, by definition, there is no fault in it. There is no fault in truth. And we as Christians, again, we believe that the whole of the Word of God is true. Not just what the Lord Jesus Christ said, but everything that he has said. The inerrancy of Scriptures, I've already mentioned. The infallibility of Scripture. The Word of God is true from the beginning. And this, of course, teaches us about the character of God himself. God is truth. There is one thing that God cannot do. We often speak about everything that he can do, and we speak about his almighty power and all the things that he is capable of, the sovereign God, the almighty God. You know, of course, there is one thing he can't do. He cannot lie, because he is truth. There is no fault in God, and that means he cannot lie. He is truth. And so this is why we believe the word of God. This is why we see there is no fault in the word of God. It's the word of God. And so therefore there is no fault in it. Therefore it is from start to the end. It is without fault. It is God's word. You see, the fault is not with the word of God. The fault is with man. The fault is with natural man, fallen man, the world around us. They are the ones who are at fault, because the fallen man, the natural man, he does not like the truth. So this is the issue that we have here. The world does not like the Bible because the world does not like hearing the truth about itself. Very simple. What do people like instead of hearing the truth? They like to hear what they want to hear. They like to hear what serves their own interests, what serves themselves, their own likes, their own biases, their own prejudices. People don't really like the truth. They're not really seeking after truth. They're seeking after something that agrees with them, with their own tastes, with their own nature, with their own likes and dislikes. This is what the world is after. They don't really hanker after truth. They don't have any respect for truth. And so people, they seek after what they like to hear. They like to hear people saying there is no God. Of course they do. They like to hear atheists saying there is no God, so you can just do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about God. You don't have to worry about the Bible. And that's what people seek after. Yes, we'll believe that because we like that. But we won't believe the Bible because we don't like that. It doesn't suit me, you see. But we'll believe the atheist who says there is no God. There was, of course, that atheist campaign quite a few years ago now. They ran a bus advert campaign. And on the side of buses, they had this advert saying, "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." That's what they wrote on the side of buses, or had displayed on a bus. And well, everyone loved that. Oh yes, we'll believe that. But dear friends, that is so foolish. Notice what they said, there's probably no God. Of course, that's not true. That's a very weak statement. Probably? That means, well, we're not really sure. It's not actually the truth. We can't say it's the truth. It's just there's probably no God. You see the difference with the word of God? There definitely is a God. This is what the word of God says. The truth, there definitely is, not probably. When you say probably, there's a fault in it, in the statement. But when you say definitely there is a God, as the word of God teaches us, well, that is strong, that is truth. There is a God who created all things, who created us. And so we owe him our lives. We don't want to hear that, of course. The world doesn't want to hear that. We want to believe in something else. We believe in evolution, as it were, or the world believes in evolution. Why does it believe in evolution? I say this so often. Not because it's the truth. It's a theory. But people want to believe in the theory because it pleases them. It gives them a wonderful excuse not to believe in God. It's not because it's the truth. There are so many faults in the theory of evolution, so many holes, but they don't care. I believe in this because it's what I prefer to believe. They'll believe in anything except the truth. And so, dear friends, why believe in what the world tells us, in what the world teaches? There are so many faults in what they say, in all their opinions. There is no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the first point that I present to you. There is no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. There is no fault in the Word of God because it is the truth and Christ is the truth. There is no fault in truth. But there was no fault in Christ also, secondly, because he was without sin. He was sinless. This is what Pilate could see in the Lord Jesus Christ. He could see that this was a righteous man presented to him, a man without sin. And this is the testimony of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was without fault. He was morally perfect. He was perfectly righteous. And this is what set him apart from all other men. All other men, all of us, of course, every single one of us, we have sinned. We are sinners. That's what the Word of God says, the truth about us, you see. People don't like the truth. People will say, this is the fault. This is the objection I have against the Bible. It calls us sinners. But you see, that's the truth. It's the most obvious thing about the human race, that we are sinners. It's the most obvious thing. Every day we see evidence that man is sinful. Every day when you watch the news, you are seeing day by day, 24-hour news, 24 hours, it's in our faces, how man is sinful in this world. Not how man is good, how man is sinful. It's the most obvious thing in the world. And yet people don't want to believe it. This is so foolish. This is so sad. It's so hypocritical, by the way. You know, people will often say to us, they will say to Christians, you know, I only believe with things that I can see. I only believe those things I can see. I don't believe in God because I can't see him. I only believe those things that I can see. And yet we can see all around us that we're sinners, and people don't believe that. They just believe what they want to believe, dear friends. That's what they want to believe. And so these things, we have to be pointed out. We are all sinners, but the Lord was different. The Lord, from the cradle, from the manger to the cross, not a single sin. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. He was the fulfillment of the Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb had to be without blemish in the Old Testament. Christ was the fulfillment of that. He was the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, without blemish, without sin, without spot. And dear friends, he is our only hope. How different we are. How different to any one of us. When we think upon our lives, we can think of all the things that we have done wrong, all the many millions of times we have perhaps lied or stolen or been hateful, been full of lust. In Christ, you examined his life, there was nothing at all. In our lives, we know already. We don't even have to think very much or think very hard. There's all manner of sins in us, things that we are ashamed of. And God can see those things. They are not hidden. How does God see you, dear friend? How does God see you? You know, God is the judge. Sometimes you speak to people and they will tell you, you know, I don't think I'm very bad at all. I think I'm actually quite a good person. But they are not the judge. They are not the ones who will judge themselves at the end of time. It's God who is the judge. It's God who sees us. It's according to his standard. How do you measure up to his standard? How do you measure up to the Ten Commandments? We have the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. How do you measure up to that? It's irrelevant what you think of yourself. How does God see you? What does God think of you? Because he is your judge. And so, dear friends, we have to ask ourselves. But you see, well, again, some people will say this is a fault. God has given us the Ten Commandments, and they're so high. And Pastor, you're always saying that nobody can meet the Ten Commandments. Nobody can meet the law of God. So what is the point of the law? Isn't this a fault with Christianity? God has given us his standard. Nobody can meet it. We're all sinners. This is a fault in Christianity. That's what people say. No, dear friends, it's not a fault. It's not a fault in Christianity. Yes, it's true. We cannot meet the standards of God. We cannot fulfill the Ten Commandments. But the law is teaching us something. We need to be saved freely. If we are to be right with God, of course, we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot be good enough for God by keeping the Ten Commandments. We're all doomed. We need to be saved freely. That's the only way we can be saved. Saved by faith. Saved freely, just by looking to the Lord. to his righteousness. That's what we need. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I've already explained, he's the only one who has lived a perfect life. How can we have that perfection? We have faith in him, not in ourselves, not by trying to earn God's favor, by trying to be as good as we possibly can. We'll always fail. The only way to be right with God, to be righteous in the sight of God, have faith in the one, the only one who is righteous, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness. And when we do that, as I so often say, his righteousness, his perfect life is given to us, is credited to us. It's like we are clothed in his righteousness. We are acceptable in the sight of God because we are clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, not our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is filthy rags. We do good things one day, and then the next day we do bad things. They're contaminated. They're filthy rags, your own righteousness. You need Christ's righteousness. You need to be dressed in his righteousness. That's the only way to be right with God. So this is what it is. There's no fault in anything. There's no fault in the Lord. He's without sin. And he gives us that righteous life. But dear friends, there's something else we have to remember before our time is through. You see, if that was all there was to it, if we just looked to the Lord for righteousness and that was it, well, actually, there would be a fault. If we just look to the Lord, he's our righteousness. Well, there is actually something faulty in that. Because atonement also needs to be made. You see, if I take myself, for example, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his righteousness, not my own righteousness. But what about my sins that I've committed in my life? What about all the things that I've done wrong? Are there no consequences for that? Is God just going to say, oh, yes, Pastor Darren, I know you've sinned, but I'm just going to sweep all your sins under the carpet. I know you sin perhaps even in your life now and perhaps even in the future. No Christian is perfect. What about all our sins? Does God just let us off scot-free? That would be a fault because God is a God of justice. He has said in his word, every sin must be punished. So where is the punishment for our sins? Where is the justice? Well, the justice was at the cross. That's where the justice was. We have sinned. Every sin deserves to be punished. But Christ, he was condemned instead of us, for us, in our place. That's where the justice is. There is the righteousness of Christ given to us, but also God demands justice for all the sins that we have committed. But the punishment falls on Christ. That is where our salvation is. We need both. We need the righteousness of Christ, but we need to know that Christ has also died for our sins. That the just punishment has fallen not on us, but upon him. Dear friends, we need that. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now again, people will say there is a fault. We don't like this idea that the Lord Jesus has died for my sin or for the sins of others. That's not fair, people will say. That's not fair. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ have to die in my place? God is so cruel. God the Father is so cruel, sending his Son to die for me. This is a fault, they will say to us. Dear friends, it's not a fault. It's not a fault. Why? Because we read in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved us. He loved us. He went willingly to the cross. If the Lord Jesus Christ had been forced by God the Father, you go to the cross, forced his hand, then yes, of course, there would be a fault. But what do we read in the New Testament? He loved us. He gave himself for us. That's wonderful. There's no fault in this. The love of God shown toward us, shown towards sinners. Sinners who have nothing to offer God at all. Christ has not died for those who are pleasing to him. He's died for those who are sinners, those who are, well, defiled in his sight. He has loved them. This is love without any fault. Not just loving those who are worthy, loving those who are unworthy. There is no fault in any of this. No fault at all. Dear friends, the reason I'm pointing this out as I am is because if you have any objections to the Lord, why? You don't have any reason at all to have any objection. There is no fault at all in the gospel message. We are sinners, but Christ has died for us. We are unrighteous, but Christ is our righteousness given to us freely. Christ has loved us. He doesn't want to oppress us and crush us. He has loved us and given himself for us. So why would there be any objection at all? Pilate could find no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't find any fault either. You must come to the Lord. And this, of course, is something else that is without fault. Anybody may come. Absolutely anybody. If this gospel was limited to a certain group, if it was limited, say, to the Israelites, to the Jews, just for them, then there would be a fault, yes. But it's not. Everyone is invited, Jews and Gentiles, everyone in the entire world. Everyone who hears this gospel message is invited to come. Come to the Lord. All those who seek me shall find me. All those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no fault at all. You seek him, you will find him. There's nothing at all you can object to. No objection. Dear friends, if you turn away from this, the fault is entirely with you. That's the word of God. That is the conclusion of the word of God. You turn away from this salvation, don't be deluded. The fault is entirely with you. And that would be so sad, so foolish, so tragic. Turn to the Lord. Why would you live for this world? This world, I haven't even begun to speak of this world. I don't have time. But we could have looked at all the faults in this world, all of the broken promises, all of the wickednesses, all of the sins, all of the lies. Are you going to choose that? You're going to choose something that has all the faults in the world. One illustration that I came to, the only illustration I could come up with, it's not very good, but let me close with this. Would you buy something faulty instead of something perfect? If you go to buy a new car, if you go to a car showroom, on one hand you have a brand new model, absolutely perfect, wonderful working order. And on the other hand, you have a faulty car and the mechanic knows that it's faulty. There's everything wrong with it. Nothing really works. It may work for a little time, may get you out of the showroom, but it's not really going to work. It's not really going to get you anywhere. And what do? You choose the one that's faulty. You're not going to choose the one without any fault at all. Oh, I'm going to go for the one that's faulty. Is that not complete insanity, foolishness? But that's what you do when you turn away from the Lord. Christ, no fault at all. The world, every fault imaginable under the sun. I'm going to choose the world. Absolute foolishness. But you see, this is the terrible fallen state of man. The terrible tragedy of man. That's what we will choose. And even some of you now, you will choose that. But dear friends, you have no excuse. You have read the word of God. You have heard the word of God. Pontius Pilate, even an unbeliever, certainly at that stage, I find in him no fault at all. This is the truth. Christ is the truth. I present to you the truth, and I exhort you and encourage you to believe the truth while there is yet time. May the Lord bless this truth to us.